Everyone has a paper? Last number of weeks we worked on the sugya of Ari Hamhabib Harara, and we dealt with the different shitas of Paiskim Rashi and Rebbeinu Tam, Paiskim and Shulchan Aruch, and about when it was a shagig and it was lo yada, like in the case of the Gemara, as well as Gabe Skirus. The Chiddush of Taisus over there regarding the Balabais and Gabi the Malamid or the Sachir, the Payal, and regarding Shaduchim and Mitzvahs, we dealt with that rather extensively. Moving on right now, to the next area of this tape, the Kazalachis. We get into more than just a matter of a kinyan. Maybe ask them to learn in the room in the back. Joel, you know where that is. Okay. All right, Baruch Hashem. There's learning downstairs at Jershu, upstairs as Arusas. Baruch Hashem. What do I want to say? Yeah. But there are situations that are not a matter, just a matter of a kinyan, of two people vying for the same house or the same job or the same shidduch or the same worker, the situation that we discussed until now. But we have situations in which we're talking about the proper trade practices in terms of competition, in terms of being able to open up and go into the same type of a business, whether it be in retail or wholesale sales, or whether it be in services, providing that which another person already is in that same business, selling or servicing the same type of product. When is it and when is it not permitted to compete? As well as from there, we'll go on to another area, which is intellectual property and copyrights, patents, trademarks, etc. When a person has a right to say that this is mine, and you can't infringe or encroach on that which I have a first rights to. These are all like mistafim, extensions from the concepts of Anim Haba Karara, giving a person a first rights on something and be able to restrict other people entry into the same type of a business. None of these cases are we actually dealing with an actual mazik or an actual gezel, because I don't own clients or customers, serve the people that I serve, they don't belong to me. The profits that I might someday generate aren't yet mine, it's Darvish Alim Bali Yalam. The copyright is a Darvish Ein Bo Mamish, it's a non-tangible intellectual property, information. Or concept, or song, or program, or design, or patent, invention that I developed through my hard work and research and development and time and money and my talents and brilliance and all the different things that went into making this product, whatever it is.
And risk.
I put my money into this, and therefore I made a wonderful thing. So I'm Tom Ed, and I just thought of how I'm making a light bulb. Does that mean that once it's been discovered that no one else can make light bulbs besides Mr. Edison or his Yorshim? Once with the ideas out there in the public, I know how to make a light bulb. Also, I can make a vacuum with a little filament and pass some electricity through it. So GE and help me out. The 10 other companies also figured out how to do the same thing once at a time I thought of the idea. A couple of years ago, someone had a brilliant idea. You take a thin piece of plastic, you put a hood onto it, you call it a raincoat or shank coat, and soon thousands of people come out, every single person in the Yeshivish Haredish world, everyone bought it. Now, it didn't take a rocket science to figure out how to make a large head, a hood that go over a hat or a shtremel. But once I figured out, once you got the idea, so if anyone's in manufacturing, of course, it's pretty simple to do. So now I want to make 10 other such things. Or any such thing that could be copyrighted, whether it be a song from a famous singer or a shir from a magazine that sells shiurim of his on tapes, or whether it be an invention, or whether it be anything else that's information. We're not talking about an ownership. I'm not trying to take away your coat. You have your coat. The idea of this of making this a thing that this is going to be marketable is only an idea. It's a non-tangible item. If I take it, I'm not stealing anything that's yours. I'm withholding you an ability to do business and market it and get profits, which aren't yet here. So we're not dealing with an emes gezel, and we're not dealing with an emes mazik. But we have a whole array, a whole assortment of dinim derbanan that start with anim amhav b'kor that we've already dealt with, nikra rasha, and therefore that's aser. We're going to learn a couple more of them right now. And then we're going to, as Hashem, see how this all gels and takes a halakha framework as far as dealing with these kind of situations. And as you could well understand, these are very real-life situations that come up very practically. And sometimes a person has a halakhic right to stop another person from doing so. Sometimes a bezin can get involved and ban a person from opening up and competing in a way that's not allowed. And sometimes we say the halakha permits it. And then we have to even start to study what's beyond the halakha, what's proper or improper, or the timushur is a din that maybe we can't enforce, but if someone's an erlich yid and he comes and asks a shayla from his rebbe, what you have to tell him what the right thing to do is. So we have onim habakhra, we've dealt with that. We know Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. You want to sleep already by this time. We spoke about them at least on three different shurim on the subject. Rashi applies it even by hefker, by everything across the board, because he considers it to be mine. And Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam says, no, it's really not yours yet, and therefore it only applies by something that I could say, go get it somewhere else, but we have to do it over here. It's like a midas tom, or it's a vasiso yashivatov. It's only right to go somewhere else, but if something you can't get somewhere else, then you're allowed to take it over here. That we already know. Now we're ready to go on to another concept, which we're going to label Yeri Lumnus Chaveri. On page one, the first two citations are agadic. There are agadatas in Sanhedrin and Makkos, which we don't have to go through the entirety of them, but the very fact that they appear in that kind of a context tells us something. It tells us that we're dealing with, at some point, which we're going to have to define, and we're dealing with something that's beyyond the halacha, beyond that which is bezdin mandated and actionable, but something that is right and wrong and proper and improper that we have to address. The Gemara in Sanhedrin makes a drasha on Pesukim and Yecheskel that talks about a person that's a tzadik gamur, that's zeicha to chaya yichya, probably means olam hazeh, olam haba. The Pesukim Gemara says, Ela harab lo achal. These other drashas are not the focus right now, but they are, of course, significant of their own. Shli achal b'skus avaysav. That he's a person, referring to Yecheskel Navi, or someone that's a tzadik gamur, is able to exist on his own merits and doesn't have to just get along because of his chosaves. He didn't go with avodah zarah in the grossest form, but all these cases, the pasuk speaks it out in a very gross and extreme depiction of it, when it's referring really to just in the essence, the kernel of it, on a smaller level. So he didn't go with a haughty stride. Because the person that's Mizgaya, the person acts with Gaiva, there's a slight degree of Avodah Zarah, of self-worship in that. And therefore it could be depicted in Gelulah Beis Yisrael, as though it would be Ovi Gelulah, but Avodah Zarah. And yet, if you have no shakos at all, you can't even be about Gaiva. And that's the way the Pesukim often talk, when the Pesuk says about, in the Parsha, about Reuven went with Reshechev Bila, right? Because I'll say he meddled with her, you know, put her meat in a different tent. Yaakov's meat in a different tent. Meddling with your father's personal affairs is tantamount in an extreme way of Arias. He didn't do any Arias, right? But the pasuk's saying, if you're totally clean from that, you wouldn't even touch it, right? There's a little tiny bit that, so that's how the psukim over here work. Ves eishas re'eo lo time, which in the gross level means arayas with an eishas ish. But the Gemara darshan is what it means to on a tzadik gomor level, shlo yoro lo umdus chaveri. A person has his livelihood. He lives with his wife. They have a family. They have a life that they share together. And he makes a living from his livelihood, his business, his practice, his service, whatever his source of income. For me to now go and infringe and encroach on your business territory is almost my going now and infringing on your marriage life. Right? As Eishes Re'eh Lo Timeh, the pasuk is depicting again in a more shocking or the extreme level what it come to. Once you start fooling around with something that belongs to your friend and taking away from his, then Chalila could go all the way. But it refers over here in the drasha of Shlo Yorod Umnus Chaveray. He didn't go and enter into a competition situation up against a person's business that he already has. Vel ish isha nida lo kirov shlo nena mikupa shel staka. When he wasn't needy and necessary to go take from staka, it compares it to that extreme relations with a nida. Siv tzadiku, I just said it means that tzadik gomer hu chaya yechigesus. So that's one of Gadot and Gemara in Sanhedrin. The other Gadot is Gemara and Amakas. I won't go through it. It's Kapitel Tesvav in Tillim, which goes through 11 miles of a tzaddik that's Zeichet again in Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. And amongst that list, which each one of the Gemara makes a drasha on, is Lo Asa L'Re'ehu Ra'a, the part that's underlined. He didn't do anything bad to another person, to a friend. Shlo Yaro L'Umnus Chaveri. Again, these two agadahs are singling that out. We learned way earlier in our series, a Rambam in Hilchos Deos, which I did not print over again today, where the Rambam in Perek Hey, if I recall, of Hilchos Deos has a whole perek about the hanaga of a Talmud Chacham in the way he dresses, the way he walks, the way he talks, the way he eats, the way he does business, the way he does everything in his life. The Rambam has a lengthy perek. At the end of that perek, he describes how the Talmud Chacham's practice of dealing with other people is exemplary above the ordinary. And one of the things that Rambam mentions over there is that he's lo yorod l'umnus chaveri. So that he puts in Hilchos Deos by Perek about a Talmud Chacham, similar to these Gemaras, that's saying that's a proper and exemplary and commendable and l'fnim reshus hadin. But it not means that that's not the law of the land that everyone has to comply with across the board. That would go into Hilchos Nezikin or Hilchos Kinyanim or Hilchos Shechinim, one of the other halachas later on in the Sefer. Here it makes it more of a Musar Dikazach, that it's the right thing, it's the proper thing. It's someone to ask his Rebbe, should I do it? The Rebbe will say, no, you should not do that. But as far as what we could demand of a person and enforce upon a person, that would go into the area of Agada and Musar, which is beyond the halacha. That's a Hagdama, which we have to remember, because the rest of the discussion, from this point on, once we get into the Sugyos of Gemara and the Paiskim, it's going to be dealing with hard and fast Takanos Drabanan, which are enforceable and expected, mandatory upon everyone. And then we're going to have to keep in mind, hey, so what is that Gemara in Makos and in Sanhedrin and the Rambam Hilchos Deos talking about? It was going to be a whole body of halacha that's going to require us to comply. We're going to have to come back to answer that question. But this is the introduction. There's two fundamental sugyas that give us a yesod. One in a very concise way, one point, and one in a rather elaborate and more fully developed sugya. The first in Gittin and the second one in Babasra. That's what the sheet over here has. The first two pieces in Hedra Makas are the agadic introduction, something that's the Fnimishur's din. But here the sugyas go into that which the Chachamim made into a din on the Drabanan Dika level, but Drabanans are binding upon all of our entire people. So Mishnah says in Gittin Daf Nun Tes, Amun Aleph and Amun Beis, the Eilid Varam Sh'arum Mishnah Darki Shalom. The following is a list, that I didn't do the entire list, of things that the Chachamim enacted because of Darki Shalom, just to keep the peace and order amongst people, that they should know they should be able to operate socially without quarreling among themselves. As Rashi says, Shlo Teh Machlokes Bein Ahem. First, one thing is a Kayin Kar Rishon V'Achrav Levi V'Achri Yisrael. Joel, sometimes you're a gabbai over here, so you have to, get everyone to get the right aliyah. I want the each one has. This we have a system. You're a Kayin, you're a Levi, you're Yisrael. Done, bang, and no more arguing about it. So that way the Chacham made that takana, not because of Kedushas Kahuna or Leviyah, but to be able to keep peace and order amongst our people. Kriyas HaTorah Lachais, I would love to give a series on that. I did it a couple years ago, but that's not for today. It's a fascinating, so you'd be able to go through all the Lachas Kriyas HaTorah. Maybe someday. Mitzudas da chayav ova is a dog v'geish v'hem v'shem gezel, nei dark yishalom. If someone puts out a trap, a net, or other devices to be able to catch animals, birds, fish, each one of their own designs and devices, and I put it out and I caught something. So now you want to go and raid my trap, when I go and take out those fish or birds or animals from it, it's gezel b'shem dark yishalom. It's not really Gezel Miraisa, it's only Midrabbanan Al Sdar Gishalom. So Rashi explains, Miraisa, small letters are Rashi's, Miraisa kol kama delumata yadeh, so long as the trapper didn't actually go over and take hold of that animal, or that bird, or the fish, lav Gezel hu, then he hasn't really acquired it, and therefore someone else that raids those traps is not really stealing. Gemara farish leba mitzudu she'en lehem toch, that if we're talking about such a trap that doesn't have a container in which it stays inside of, delictin lekelev, in which we are bekaina. So if it would be some kind of a box that he walks into and the lid slams down, then you'll be kaina with your keli. But if it's a hook, a net might be a keli also that is kainet. But if it's a hook that a fish get swallowed, so he's stuck over there, but he's not inside of anything of yours, something of yours is inside of him. And therefore you're not kaina with that. If a metal snapping device catches the leg of an animal that steps into it, that's not a keli that holds the animal inside of it, just locks him into position. So you're not going to be kaina with that, and therefore if I can now release that trap and take the animal out before you get back, gezel d'raisa won't happen, but the Rabbanan made it into gezel b'nei dark yishol. Rabbi Yaisi Aymer gezel gomor. Rabbi Yaisi says in all these cases that we're going to be studying this mishnah, that it upped it to a new level of gezel gomor. What does it mean, gezel gomor? You weren't kind of it. So how could we really get gezel gomor? So Rashi, but gemara farish gezel gomor midivrehem, not midraisa, but midrabanan. We upped it to be not just us because drak shalom, but to be gezel midrabanan. The difference the gemara is going to say is that something that's us or b'shem drak shalom, then you're not allowed to do it. And I could stop you from doing it, and the Bezin could stop you from doing it. But once you did it and you took it, you don't owe me anything because you didn't actually steal from me. So it's not going to be Yotzei B'Dayanu. After the fact, once you raid the things, you could just give a guy a knas, maybe make sure he never does it again. But he doesn't actually owe it to you because you never owned it to make it into real gezel. According to Rabbi Yossi, We raise the din rabbanon this iser to be gezel gomor midrehem. But tamad Rabbi Yosi could bechula the kasavro also b'shem drak yishalom as she'enu zeicha liknos kinyu gomor kzeicha. We made it as though it would be yours, and then we're operating on a level as though midrabbanon would be yours. Then we make you then return it to. Another case is matzias cheresh katan yesh b'shem gezel b'nidrak yishalom. A child finds a item of interest or value. He doesn't really have an ability to make a kinyan midraisa because a cheresh ad rakatan don't have das, and therefore a lach das to validate a kinyan. And there, if I go take a candy from a baby, I'm not really stealing. Now, if the baby was given that candy by his father or mother, it still belongs probably to the parent, and therefore taking away from them is really stealing the parent's candy that they give or the bottle that they give to the baby. But Mitzias Chesh Rekatan, if they just found an item, they're going along, I don't know, they're beachcombing, and they found something of value. Oh, you found it? Let me take that kid. I'll take it away from him. So Mitzias is no stealing because he never really acquired it. But we don't want that to be going on. That's going to be a chaotic type of a society. And therefore, and it's going to make Machlekes, his father's going to get angry with me. We're going to all have it. So therefore, B'shnei Dark Yishalom, we answered it. Again, Rabbi Yossi says Gezel Gomor. The same machlekes again. The third one, which is most directly our interest right now, is ani hamanakef b'rosh hazayis. If there's olive trees growing out in the wilderness, you ever go along the Har Yehuda, they're full of olive trees, thousands and thousands, of olives growing on hundreds and hundreds of trees just all over the place. It's beautiful. And those olives are valuable. They're good for eating. They're good for making oil. You use them for your Hanukkah candles. There's Zaysim Shel Hefker. Or another instance could be that the owner of this whole orchard left a certain amount of trees over here for his lekashicho peya, for his peya of his fields. He said, those fields, I'm leaving there for the niyam. It's now come along some niyam. For them, it's hefker. For them, it's manas niyam, it's hefker laniyam. Now, you can't just go and pick them off very easy. It's a laborious job to be able to harvest olives. The way you do it is you climb up into the tree. The tree is not that tall, but it's a lot of windy, twisty kinds of branches around itself. It's pretty easy to climb into it. And over there, you have to pull off those olives, which are firmly, strongly attached. It's not like an apple just comes off or a peach comes off very easy. You have to take a little clippers and they're hard. When they're raw, they're very hard. And you have to start clipping them. So he goes with the clippers, clip, 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 clip all the olives that he sees over there. And what do? They fall on the ground, right? So on the bottom of the olive of the tree, after an hour of his work up there climbing around on the branches, you'll have hundreds of olives on the ground. So you say, "Hi, Joe, up there. Nice seeing you," right? And you clean up on the bottom and walk away. So ani yamanake brosh azayis, masha tach v'gezel bnei drak yishalom. But Rabbanu, we said, you can't come along and clean up and catch all those things that are on the ground because of Darkei Shalom. And Rabbi Yosi again says, Gezel Gomer. And again, the same machlokas lahotzim et hayonim. The Gemara on Daf Samech Machala, which is a continuation over here of this piece, the last piece of that of this whole citation, of this paragraph, says, Tana, imlikit v'dosim b'yado, if the Ani would have picked them and held it in his hand before he dropped it down, then he would already be cutting it. It's his, and it would be gezel. Now, this case of the Adi Menachem Rosh Zayas is a precedent setter. It's a pivotal halacha in our discussions because it's saying it's more than just an Adi Mahapa of Harora, which it's a rasha for you to come and take it. But it's saying more than that it's gezel midrabanan. That Gezel Gomer is mostly Yudot B'Dayana, but it's Gezel Midrabanan. It's more than just Nikur Rasha. And the reason that there's more over here is because we're going to now say that this item is a not just something that he was showing an interest in inquiring, but it was his work, his labor, that made them accessible and available. The reason that they're on the ground, that someone could now come and clean up, is because he did all that work of clipping, 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 and climbing in between all those branches and getting himself all scratched up and down before he came down over here. It's now his tircha and his maisim that are facilitating now getting this product, getting those hefker olives that are on the ground. For you to now come and take them is not simply taking something that he showed an interest in, like Ani Mahab Harara, but it's coming now to eat the product of his work, of his labor, that he now brought something he didn't bring into being, he didn't create those olives, but he now brought them into availability, he made them accessible because of his work, and now for you to take them, you're going to be netted from his tircha, from his yagia, from his maisim, and therefore that constitutes now gezel midivrehem.
Isn't that called unjust enrichment?
That's a nice term.
When someone comes and buys from somebody else's effort.
That might be the legal term over here. I'm studying these. It's called Gezel Midrashim. It's also Mishum. It's Gezel Mishum Darkei Shalom. Right? It's not Gezel Gomer Midrashim. The place can deal with it as Gezel Midrashim, but not Gezel Gomer Midrashim. The Nafkamina is Lahotz Midayanim. It's not Moz Midayanim. Now, I'll tell you a practical nafkamina between this and a Anirapa Perora. And that is, I think we mentioned this, that in that similar Rish Lamed Zion about Anirapa Perora, the Ramah brings down that the Ramban say that it's only a Rasha if if the first guy that's really trying to get it is an ani hamahabav charara and he needs it, so then bug off, go somewhere else. It's not right for you to come and take it. Like going like Rabbeinu Tam, you get somewhere else, like Rashi, regardless. But if he's not an ani, he's an usher. As a matter of buying something over here, on Black Friday, I got there at 3 o'clock in the morning. I was waiting over there for that doorbuster, right? And then people are going to start shoving and pushing over there to be able to get on the last one over there. That kind of case, the Ramban says, there's no Isra of Adim Habu Karara. Because it's a matter of going and buying it. You can buy it, I can buy it. You can afford it, I can afford it. Everyone wants to get a sale, so far, so what? That the din of Adim Habu Karara, especially by something that is not available somewhere else, that according to Rashi is Usr, the Ramah brings down from the Rishon, let's say, that's only if he's an ani and he really needs it, and then even though you can't get it somewhere else, too bad on you. But he's an ani. But if he's not an ani, he's an usher, so he could also get somewhere else. It'd just be a tirchan expense, so the same thing for you, something for him. Then we don't have the rachmanis. So that's a question of the propriety, the properties of it, whether it's right for you to take it. Once we classify this as gezel, I don't care whether it's rich or poor, you can't steal from anyone, right? So once we say that now this is something is a work product, that it's it becomes available only because of his mice and his tircha, then it becomes usur now for anyone to take it at all. That's the principle of ani benachem b'charab, ani hamenachem rosh hazayis, which we're going to see has many applications. Ani mahab b'charab, for instance, is not going to affect the whole sugya of copyrights when we talk about this, but Menachi Brosh Azayas, which over here, Ani is just because Dibra Kasab Ahoba, that's the common case. Who else is going to be going out to the wilderness or taking the Lekha Shechopeya? Over here, it's not halachically only limited to an Ani. This is going to be by everyone. And that's going to be that if something is my work product, if something over here became available only because of my bringing it into being, certainly if I'm the one that just made it available, accessible, I dropped it down from the tree. So if I just created it, I invented it, I discovered it, I composed it, right? Then I'm one that brought this into being. All these famous singers that have these albums of songs, they didn't just wake up one day, take a thing, and it takes weeks and weeks of work to be able to do that, what they do over there. And a lot of money, and all these kinds of arrangements, and all the practices, and the studios, and it's a lot of work to become one of these guys. Okay, it's a good job, I'm not applause on them. But it takes work and it takes money to be able to put out something like that. And that's, a lot of it is original work. So that is a case of Ani Menachem Rosh Hazayis, which is beyond the getter of a Ani Mahabit B'Charara. So as we go further into these sugyas, this case is a precedent setter that we're going to keep on referring to.
Something that could be invented again, let's say a pen, which could be invented by many people.
An invention is an original composition. Anyone of the 500 zillion people that have lived in the world since Adam Arishon could have thought of making a light bulb. But there's one gentleman that Kodesh Baruch Hu gave him the ability to do that.
No, the difference between that and a song is only one person. I
can't think of the same song as Mashiach, Mashiach, Mashiach. So I don't have my...
I don't hear multiple people... picking up the same song.
That's right, and you don't have multiple people thinking the same invention.
But well, that's true. Then you can have multiple people inventing the same thing,
then why can't different people think of the same song? There's nothing intrinsic about, you know, you thought of a song, I thought of it also. They say by Chiddush Torah, sometimes a guy in Olam thought of a Kiddush, and then some simple guy in the class also thought of the same thing. Kiddush. Once he brought down to the world. So once MBD thought of that song, some a little guy like you, I never heard it, never listened to his stuff. But I could, I don't know.
I don't think that happened.
I don't know. Like I don't think two inventions are made by the same people either. Once you heard about my invention, that you want to go and try to copycat it.
Have two different labs discover the same thing. It's a matter of time. It's
and Punk not just this.
But they've been trying to invent the same thing. They know what to invent. They know they want to invent.
I know.
It's a question of technique.
Right.
How do you figure
so
it out?
So you have multiple pharmaceutical, multi-billion-dollar companies trying to just make the same cure for this, you know, tiny specific subset of a problem. And they're all working for years and years and years, and one guy has a breakthrough. The same night, the other guys will also have a breakthrough.
It could happen.
There was some guy. Some guy walked over there from there and gave away the secret of that.
Didn't penicillin have two developers, Fleming and somebody else,
working together or separate?
Separate.
We have Nobel Prizes.
Okay. Okay. Fine. Okay. So Enochinami. So now, if you thought of penicillin, I thought of penicillin. There's no reason I can't produce it. Then we have to talk about the difference again, about competition, about equal things. You have a shoe store, I want to open up a shoe store. That's going to be the next sugya by Basra. But if I want to now go and piggyback on your discovery, or your composition, your creation, your bringing down those olives from the tree, I could have done that also. But the mice, I'm now being, taking it, utilizing your work product, that's on Ibn Akhbarosh's eyes. Right? If I can go develop on my own, go ahead. Right? But it has to be fair and honest that I'm not using yours. But if I'm using yours, and from that I'm going to now try to reap the profit of that discovery or that composition or that program that I made for this software, and now I'm going to now use yours, adapt a little bit, and now package it differently and try to sell that. So I'm now trying to take the olives that you pulled down. I'm going to take now the product of your work. That's Ani Menachem Rosh's eyes.
It's a little different because Ani Menachem, you're actually taking what he put his work into.
Right. Tangible versus non-tangible.
Okay, so if somebody puts out a record, puts out a tape,
right,
you're not taking his thing. Buy it from him.
We're going into, that's right, the whole area of intellectual property, we're going into the area of the non-tangible. Right, this all, an olive is a tangible item. And therefore, Mirabbanan, we could consider that even though you didn't actually acquire it, Mirabbanan will say it, at least look up the Isra of it to take it, you're taking his olive. He has the rights already, first rights of taking and using it on this actual item. When you don't talk about an actual tangible item, you talk about just a conceptual concept or idea or composition or program or discovery. So then we're getting into the whole area of intellectual property. We're going to get there. We're not there yet. We're just saying this is a starting point that will be able to be useful.
So Ruvain takes those olives and sells them to me, and I pay $5 a pound. I didn't know where he got them. He's selling olives.
Okay, so you're innocent. But you didn't know there was anything wrong. But if you do know that it's stolen, you're not going to buy things that are stolen because that way you're encouraging people to steal. Yeah, if the only reason that people steal is because it's profitable. But there'll be a way to be able to identify stolen stuff and people don't buy it. Like a guy stops you on the street and says, hey, would you like to buy some jewelry cheap? Right? And everyone just walks away and says, no, thank you. Then he'll be out of business. Everyone says, okay, fine. And you make a deal with him that he's going to want to get some more the next night somehow.
Is there really any difference if it's tangible and if it's not tangible? Meaning if it's not really in the tangible item, saying since he was never coined, it's not really his. So really what we're identifying is that effort, his right to getting it. So if you're really, it's the right to getting it, so the right to getting it on something.
We can make the case. We can make the case. We're jumping ahead of ourselves. We would have to find a Makor that they did that. That the Chum said, okay, we're going to give you, because of your work, the rights on these tangible items, these olives, or we'll find some more cases coming up very soon, this week or next. That's one step. Did they also now give ownership and rights and control and some kind of schus in a non-tangible
worldwide
concept?
Excuse me? Worldwide production rights for Long Bud.
Right. Generally, by the way, speaking, even copyright laws are always limited by a certain period of time. 70 years after, whatever. You know.
Depends on the time.
Okay, whatever.
Is software tangible or intangible?
Intangible. That's why it's called soft. I mean, I could take your disc, copy it, give it back to this guy right here, right? So the actual piece of plastic, the material, I give it back. What do I have right now? I just have the information, the series of commands that I have now in my computer or in my disc, and now I'm going to do something with that, whatever I'm going to do, right? So there's no actual item physically that I'm taking away from you. I'm willing to help, welcome to give it back. You want me to pay $10, I'll pay the price for that thing. But now I have this program or this song or this formula for some kind of invention, which is marketable. So I'm going to give you back the original thing. I take the one pill, I analyze what it is, and now we have to make a generic and copy it. You know, that's okay. I'm really, really getting ahead of myself. I didn't plan to speak tonight about copyright. I want to get there, but it's going to take a couple of steps of building. Gemara doesn't directly address that. Gemara gives us the building blocks with which we have to get from the Lamed Tes Melachos to the modern kitchen. You know, how do we get from the guy with the beam and the glass with to the automobile accidents? So we have to first know the rudiment fundamentals, the halakhic concepts, and then we'll be able to apply them to Be'ez Hashem, all the modern day situations that we could think of. Okay, number one. Number two is the sugya babasar. We're going to just make now a little beginning onto the sugya. The sugya is a major important sugya. So Gemara says in babasra, Rav Chafa, the bottom of page one, Amar Rav Huna, Hai bar mavua, a person lives in a mavui. A mavui was their residential structures. Du'uki mirechaya, that puts up a miller puts up a grinding station, Rechayim. So now he is offering services to grind your wheat into flour, or to rent out his mill to you if you want to do the work yourself, either way. And that's a business that he has. He'll provide the service, he'll rent it out to you for a day, whatever you need it for, and that way he's in business. So once I see that's a good idea, another one of his neighbors says, brilliant idea, I'll do that too. If you also barbavu a chavre, another fellow member of the same mavui lives on the same block with him, says, ah, this is good that I see is in high demand. People are lining up around the corner coming to you. So, v'kamuki gabe, I'll now do the same thing. I'll open another rechayim right across the street from you. Dina hu d'ma'ake v'lave. So din is, now we're talking about dina. We're not talking about lefnim mishos din. We're not talking about chasidus and talmud chacham. Talk about dinahu duma'aki vilave. Apidin, I'm able to, the first one is able to prevent the second one from being allowed to open. Darmale, because the first could tell the second, kapaskis leila chiyusi, you're being paisek my chiyus, my livelihood. This is how I make a living, right? I need to have those customers lining up to be able to come and give pay for my services. If you're going to open across the street, half of them going to go to you, half going to go to me. I'm going to have half as much parnasa. I won't be able to make a living. You're cutting into my living. Go somewhere else. Almost like Ani Mahabakura, go somewhere else. And all the way, first come, first serve, I'm here first, so you have to go somewhere else. In fact, Rashi in the Gemara in Kedushin, Nun Tesam and Aleph, when he was talking about Ani Mahabakura, he says it's Aser. Why? Because it's Yer L'chayav, it's Paskas L'chayusi. He connects these two sugyas together. That is Rav Huna. Rav Huna would seem to come to Aser any competition. Whoever's the first guy in town that has a shoe store, or has a butcher shop, or has a pizza shop, or has a accounting service, in the same mavli, right? Gemara will deal with people in the same city, but okay, within whatever would be a restricted same area, then no one else will be able to come over here because you're going to be taking away from the first ones. The Gemara is going to develop this, which we don't have time to go through it right now inside, but it could be continued. The Gemara is going to develop this concept and show that it's actually a machlekes tanayim, and that we don't pass like Rav Huna. He lines up with a das yachid called Rav Shmuel Gamliel, and the Chachamim say, you could do in your house what you want to do, and I could do what house my wife what I'm going to do. And as Rashi says it, the bottom of page one, Misha ba etzlecha, Yavo. That's a matter of shkacha. You'll get what you're supposed to get. I'll get what I'm supposed to get. Competition is fair. Without going into the advantages of competition, of pricing and such, but just competition, unless it would be a set standard fee for Rechayim, but I could do it as well as you could do it, and whoever comes to me comes to me, whoever comes to you comes to you. That's not considered to be damaging another person. Okay? The Gemara is going to go on and tell us, first of all, that there's, in this, as regard to competition, there's a difference between a local person or out-of-town person. Someone from Silver Spring that wants to come and open up another restaurant or Sterling Silver store or any other competition with the local people over here won't be allowed to do it, but a person from locally from Baltimore will be allowed to do it. Expand more of the lachas about Mavui and city, but whoever is considered to be local would be allowed to compete, not like Rav Huna, and whoever is considered not to be local, which has to be defined exactly, is not allowed to compete. So then Rav Huna's original concept is not entirely rejected by halacha, it's just not going to be applied where he wanted to apply it, to the same Mavui. But we will apply it to local people from our town, our sphere of business, the people over here in Baltimore do business with each other. Someone from far away is a different sphere of business. For him to come and try to do the business over here and take away from the local market is taking away from the local merchants, and that is not going to be allowed. So Rav Huna's concept, although we don't accept it lahalacha by the mavui, we do accept it and apply it to in-town versus out-of-town. So the halacha of Paskas L'chayusi then does still have a relevance lahalacha. We're going to have to just develop the guidelines on that. Now, that's as far as just plain competition. The Gemara is then going to take this to another level and talk about things that I already prepped and began and worked with and I'm about to be able to get something from, similar to those olives, now in business applications, where that will be also usher for you to, when will that apply? Like, for instance, take away my client that I've been for the last 5 years servicing and selling him, health insurance. Now you want to go give him a different policy and take it away from me in my agency, right? Or any other electric services or accounting services or legal services, medical services, whatever it might be, or supplying him, selling him stuff. I've been supplying him with his, paper towels for his shul. Now someone else wants to give me the paper towels for my shul. Or et cetera, whatever it might be. When that would be go into the Menachem Rosh Hashanah, and when it goes into the dinner of the Bar Mavoi, Be'ez Hashem, stay tuned, same channel next week. After you light the candles at 5:30, 6:30, 7:30, by 8:30 we can come back over here and continue on the subject. Afreda Chalifta Kachanaka, Taira Or, Ner Mizu Taira Or, so there's no reason not to learn the Chanukah.